Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to begin the meeting of the Names Council. Thank you for your your patience. Before we start, I'd remind the audience this is the second part of the DNSO Day here today in Stockholm. We had this morning the General Assembly with opportunities for public dialogue. This is technically an observed meeting of the Names Council, but as usual, I'm going to try and schedule some time for questions on what's being discussed at the end of the meeting. Thank you for that. Names Council, welcome. We see some new faces today, and indeed an expanded Names Council as a result of the fact that the GTLD constituency is now up to its full strength of 3 representatives. So welcome to that constituency in full. And perhaps I'll ask the 2 new representatives to briefly introduce themselves, and then also pass on to the other new faces we see from the ISP constituency in turn. So Rosa, please kick off.
Yes, okay. Okay, hello. My name is Rosa Delgado. I'm in the Registry constituency, and I'm very happy to be here. I'm work at CITA, and thank you very much.
And my name is Richard Tindall, and I apologize, I've got a very bad case of laryngitis. I'm on the Registry constituency as well. I'm also very pleased to be here.
Tony Holmes from the ISP constituency.
Greg Ruth, also representing the ISP CP constituency.
Thank you very much. Before we go on to the agenda, just a couple of changes that I propose. Under item 7, where we've got the moment scheduled DNS secretariat and sponsorship update, we'll be taking a slightly more general report from the budget committee of some items that we think we should hear from there. And also just a reminder now for the public forum tomorrow, under the DNSO part of that, the beginning of that session is going to be reports as usual from constituencies. So if you could prepare something, you might indeed have already done something similar for the GA today to make that report at the 11:30 slot at the moment on the public forum agenda. So if that's, everybody's happy with the agenda? Yeah, perfect.
Could I ask if there are any council members who are holding proxies that you could just clarify that?
Yes, indeed. The notifications that I have, I think, are a proxy from Erica to Paul Kane in the first instance to be notified of. And we also have joining us, I hope by telephone, the 3 representatives from the IP constituency. Can you indicate that you are indeed connected, IP constituency?
Yes.
Guillermo Carey here.
Guillermo, hello.
Caroline Chacoin.
Excellent. Welcome from your respective homes or offices. And I have no other boxes, but I think otherwise we're in fact in full shape with that. We're certainly quorate with our new quorum of 11 necessary now, as we're up to full strength of 21, at least for the time being. And the first item we have is an update on the business plan. In this case, I have asked the respective chairs of the small interim committees that we formed, who are essentially sorting out what's going to be the most effective and a target-oriented process in order to move the plan forward, where we're looking at typically defining terms of reference and recommendations in terms of how we carry that out for each of the main points on the plan. And we start off with Caroline Chacoin and the UDRP interim group. Caroline, please go ahead.
Yes, at our last telephone conference call, after giving our report, people felt that we needed to be sure that these interim committees were really just setting the structure as opposed to actually starting to do the work, which in hindsight we realized that maybe we were going down the wrong path. So in this past month, we've taken a step back to indicate what that structure would be. Unfortunately, it's been Milton Mueller and Miriam and myself. I believe Ken Stubbs is on our interim committee. And Milton and I have been exchanging emails pretty actively. And last Friday, then we've had some disagreements or different viewpoints on how to proceed, and received an email from Miriam last Friday, which I think kind of pulled it all together and put us in agreement. I unfortunately not chance to put together a written document that would incorporate all this, but I'll at least give you a summary of where we think we're going to take this. What we would do initially is set up a task force of relevant stakeholders, because as I mentioned, three or four people that are on this committee don't necessarily represent all stakeholders. And so what we tried to do was solicit individuals that would obviously have an interest to participate in the EDRP process. So, for example, a complainant, a respondent, a panelist from each provider, a provider, obviously, you know, registrars, registries, and if that group of people would create a questionnaire that would be solicited through ICANN process for comment by the public. What we had started to do was to actually get into the details of what that questionnaire would cover. For example, the non-commercials and passive resolutions that identified some issues that they wanted to have looked into. So what we decided to do with that was to, again, have an attachment or something with saying these are some representative areas that we would like considered or addressed in the questionnaire. The questionnaire then would be developed by this task force, and from the responses, which they would then review, they would identify issues that needed to be more fully addressed in terms of working groups and a bottom-up process that would involve whole internet public and not, again, just these specific stakeholders. And then the working group would hopefully come to some sort of consensus. Say, for example, I know I've heard some people indicate a desire for perhaps an appeal process. So, again, if that was an issue that arose out of the questionnaire, then a working group would more fully scrutinize that issue and come up with recommendations. Miriam also suggested that to the extent there are perhaps legal issues, that, again, you know, we want to have expertise in place that perhaps would use, you know, some unbiased law firm or, you know, somebody who would do pro bono that would look at the legal issues and at least be able to perhaps give a recommendation based on the legality of what's suggested. So that's where we stand now. As you know, I've been on maternity leave, so I've also not been as productive as I'd like to be. I'll be back in on Monday and hope to have what I just mentioned all put together in a draft that I'd like to circulate with my committee first, and then start the process of looking for other members of this task force that the questionnaire created.
Great, Karen. Thanks very much. One of the items I think that came up at your constituency meeting yesterday was an ongoing survey by the Max Planck Institute, a well-respected academic institute in Germany, who are currently doing a study, I think, an assessment of the UDRP at the moment. This presumably would be interesting input when that report is finished to the groups that you propose.
Yes, in fact, Milton has also a study going on, which I believe was wasn't going to be ready for Stockholm, but shortly, I guess, hereafter. And we did indicate when he brought that up that third-party studies, clearly that we would take advantage of the studies, again, making sure that to eliminate any bias, looking at really the raw data and the facts that come out of those studies, to the extent that they can be helpful in our review.
Okay.
And I know there's been also, you know, several papers already written on the UDRP and how it's functioning. So, again, this task force would hopefully take all of that in. And one thing we talked about at the last meeting, which I just mentioned for the benefit of the others in the room, outside of the NC, was that we were not going to look at WIPO process, except to the extent perhaps an issue would come up through our process, that was a separate process and had its own separate comment, which clearly would is part of, going to, you know, be part of the ICANN process, but not through our committee.
Bill, when do I?
Yes, go ahead, Milton, yes.
Yeah, Carolyn, just a point of clarification. You had mentioned that that we had submitted questions that we thought should be in the questionnaire, and I just want to clarify that. The questions that I submitted to you were meant to be not questionnaire questions, but terms of reference. In other words, there's enough legal and academic literature about the UDRP that we certainly know what some of the issues are, and we ought to be able to identify them even at this stage and say, for example, to this committee or to this working group, whatever it is forum shopping, for example, an issue and how could it be addressed? Or, you know, is there actual recourse in the courts? There are specific issues that we can identify, and that list of questions that I gave you were in that vein. They were not intended to be questionnaires questions. In other words, I'm not interested in people's opinion about that. I'm interested in charging the committee to answer those questions correctly.
Okay.
Counsel, other questions or comments for Caroline? No? Okay, Caroline, thanks very much. Let's move on to the next thing we will see as a council then will be what you've said in writing, having polished the final details with your interim committee. Is that right? Caroline, are you still with us?
It would appear not. I'll ask the question.
Aha. Caroline, are you with us, or have you just pressed the mute key, in which case could you unpress it and talk to us before we move on to the next item? I'm still hearing silence. We'll try and get that clarification later. Next item is who is, and here we have a report from Paul Kane.
Thank you, Philip. Just following on from our remit, which was given at the February the 8th Names Council meeting, the Who Is Committee has made good progress. We have created a questionnaire, a survey, with input from all constituencies. The representatives on the committee from CCTLDs is Oscar Robles, from business is Teresa Swinehart, from the registry is Roger Cachetti, Michael Schneider, who is from the ISPs, but it may be the ISP constituency would like to appoint someone, a new person, in light of Michael Schneider resigning. Wajay Park from the non-commercials, and Axel Delmillen from the IP constituency, and myself from the registrars. The consultation process, we have designed a questionnaire, a survey form of up to, well, there are 20 questions, some of which require text answers, some of which are bullet point yes, no type answers. The consultation process, we're trying to make as broad as possible. We have the questionnaire in English, French, and Spanish, courtesy of Oscar, which is very much appreciated. And my staff will be translating the questionnaire into Russian and Japanese. The process is due to start on Wednesday of this week, and conclude, this is the comment process where we're soliciting comments from the broadest possible community. We'll start on Wednesday and conclude on the 31st of July. The remit that was given to the Who Is Committee is fairly specific. We are to identify areas of consensus, fundamental agreement, and to identify areas where additional work is necessary. And the questionnaire is phrased in that light, bearing in mind there are so many free text areas. Just to give you a very brief insight into the questionnaire, the type of respondent is requested, which market sector they come from, how they use Who Is, if they've registered domain names, the data elements that should be available within the Who Is, the searchability of it, the data, the format, the way in which the data appears, people's ideas on centralized portals to Who Is, how sales and marketing of that data, if it is indeed applicable, the bulk access, and any other issues that we have not addressed in the survey, we would very much like input on. We intend to write a report for the Montevideo meeting, present that to the named councils, once again highlighting the areas of consensus and the areas where we feel additional work is necessary, and seek guidance from the council as to how they would like to handle the areas that we've identified. So it just again, the comment period will start on Wednesday of this week, conclude about 8 weeks later, and then the report will be ready for our next meeting in Montevideo.
Thank you very much. Comments, questions? No, I think that was crystal clear. Sounds like good progress. Internationalized domain names, YJ.
Yes. Internationalized domain name committee comprised of like four members, and myself and Glenn from business constituency and Lillian from GTLD constituency on behalf of Roger and Guillermo. I guess he was on the line. And so we tried to come up with terms of reference, which was decided by the Names Council Melbourne meeting, because NC at the time noted the fact since late 1999 multilingual domain names, and hereafter we will call internationalized domain names, was available in the market. But after 1.5 years of like experience, it is noted by DNSO there are many issues should be openly dealt with among internet communities. So that's we came up with this internationalized domain name committee in the NC. But there was some kind of request by the member of this committee, because one of decisions made during the Names Council meeting was NC requested ICANN to review and evaluate the VeriSign multilingual testbed prior to launch of multilingual domain name registration. But there was a concern, it is a little bit unfair to just to specify one specific company. So it could be much better to like generally include all those like implementations, which might include those CCTLDs. And so we came up with the objectives of this task force. So the first objective was, it was agreed that there has been little education or little knowledge regarding internationalized domain name issue in the DNSO. Therefore, NC Task Force should encourage people to be educated about its current status. The second objective is NC Task Force should work with its relevant expert groups to provide more accurate and timely analysis to the community. And those expert groups are Internet Engineering Task Force, IETF, Multilingual Internet Names Consortium, MINC, Arabic Internet Names Consortium, AINC, Chinese Domain Name Consortium, CDNC, and Tamil Speaking Group, INFID, and other groups which had been already formed to facilitate this. Our third objective is, based upon its work with various organizations, such as the mentioned earlier, NC Task Force is expected to make a report on the issue list to the community, both technical and policy level. And lastly, it was proposed that NC Task Force should make its recommendation to the board with regard to IDN matters after a wide range of IDN consultation process from DNSO through its relevant expert groups. So we are going to take use of the surveys which are already available right now, like including ICANN surveys. And based upon on the result of survey, we are going to through this consultation process. So we are looking forward to coming up with this consensus, which should be relied on various groups consultation. And that was sort of like agreed the terms of reference among the groups. The time frame I suggested was this is the state report, the first state report, and we are going to come up with the second status report this coming Uruguay meeting. But some members like noted this kind of speed of this region might be in timing compared to those like very best progress in this internationalized domain name issues. So probably that could be the issue you can discuss. And according to my time frame, we can still discuss this status report through like a lay meeting. And finally, we can come up with the final report to the Names Council, like 2002 June, 1 year from now on. And that could be the issue we can discuss. Yes, any question?
Okay, YJ, thanks. So what you're suggesting, what is the form of the group who is now going to do the work of testing? You mentioned the word task force before, so are you suggesting that we have initially a Names Council task force to do this?
Well, actually the mandate or like a decision made by the Names Council was this interim committee to propose terms of reference for could be like task force or other groups. So we initially agreed upon like a task force format, and so because as if we can see the first objective, what noted was there was very little knowledge and very little concern in this PNSO. So it might be better to have some small group of like work format rather than the full discussion in the DNSO. But if you think different way, maybe we can discuss that more.
No, I think that's probably the right way forward. And I suppose the question is then, do we need to have, is there a need for this area and for the work to be done to have an NC task force which is representative of one from each constituency, or can we be smaller than that in terms of the work? I mean, are the constituency issues to be advocated, or can it be a smaller group?
I do recommend like one representative from one constituency, because as we all notice, like this issue will not be confined to any specific constituency, because this issue will be effective to every constituency in the DNSO. So I do recommend one representative from one constituency. I even sort of like invited the other constituency members who were not in this committee, such as Paul Kane from Registrar. He has been observing this discussion too.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, you have a comment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a chance to have with us the chair from IETF, Harald Alvestrand. May we ask Harald some comment from his point of view? Thank you.
Sure. Harald, go ahead.
Turns on magically. Question to YJ. With this schedule, ICANN will probably have to make decisions before seeing the final report. Do you plan to have final conclusions on burning issues as separate reports from the group?
Actually, that's why I sort of throw this time frame issues like to the Names Council as a whole, because before this meeting, I also consulted with Masanobu Kato-san, who has been in charge of this IDM board working group. And according to him, he's going to make another like a report in Uruguay meeting. So NC like Names Council task force is willing to cooperate with what kind of groups or what kind of time frame if it is needed. And we also heard like indirectly IETF is going to be willing to like come out its standardization process like sometime this August meeting. That's what I told. So if that's the case, I think it should be co-working with those relevant groups too.
By the way, I will not guarantee the conclusion of any IETF process. Whenever I try to predict it, it's usually wrong. Mm. I have hopes, though.
Just a question for Harald. What decisions is ICANN going to have to make?
ICANN is going to have to decide whether or not to accept domain name that registries under ICANN contract register internationalized domain names. This might either be as a relaxation of the no two dashes clause, which I think was a good part of the new contract, or it might be as a permission to register full-fledged domain names. That depends on the form of the standard. But as the contract stands now, you do not have the right to register internationalized domain names in a registry maintained by an ICANN accredited registry.
Harold, thank you. Just to get further clarification on the issue, can I invite Kato-san to come to the microphone? Kato is following this issue on the board.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. My name is Masanobu Kato, currently chairing the board internal working group on internationalized domain names. Quick report of where we are right now. 2 days ago, we posted the initial, what we call Stockholm report regarding the board fact-finding effort. That is the compilation of many responses the board sent out to the ICANN community regarding many issues on technical, on policy, and current practices. And we are proposing to continue this fact-finding effort for the next 3 months and try to get the next round of a report, which could be more comprehensive report on those fact-finding in Uruguay in September. Thank you very much. If you have time to read this, please read this report and give us more comment, your comment, input on those very important complex issue will be very much appreciated.
Thank you for that. So, I mean, that would obviously be useful to match our timetable as much as possible in terms of the interim steps, at least, with clearly what the board has laid out. Paul, I think you had a comment, and then Milton.
It was really a question directed at Harold, if you would be willing to return to the microphone. It's in light of the encoding structures that are being considered by the IETF, and whilst recognizing the IETF processes may be, or it's difficult to estimate how long the IETF process may be, I understand there will be a meeting of the IETF in London where this issue will be discussed. Is it likely at that meeting, which is due to take place, I believe, in August, early August, that the encoding structure, because I understand that's the problem, there are a number of encoding structures that are being proposed, an agreement will be reached as to the fundamental standard that is appropriate for international domain names. So I'm just wondering if any initiatives in the deployment of international domain names would be well advised to wait until after the IETF meeting before effectively going into deployment mode, if that were the intent of any registry in the space.
It would not be advisable to go into deployment mode, as you say, before the London meeting.
Sorry.
As you might be aware, there is a fundamental difference of opinion within the IDN group, which I characterize more or less as exposing systems to failure or exposing systems to gibberish. Well, technically, it's the UTF-8 version of ASCII. And we cannot say that we have reached a consensus. I think we have a majority, but we cannot say that we have reached consensus. And making decisions that you cannot back away from before the decision of the IETF is final would not be a wise move. There are other matters, like investigating the intellectual property issues related to names in multiple languages that are totally irrelevant to the IETF and are independent of the encoding forms, which can be addressed and should be addressed by the relevant bodies. But you should not make final decisions on that depend on the technical the way of representation before London. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing I wanted to establish is if it would be helpful that any proposal or suggestion from the Names Council were to be at least to recommend to the ICANN board that implementation deployment should wait, certainly until after the London meeting, because there are various proposals out that move the international domain name to a next phase, depending on which registry is involved. So it was very helpful. Thank you.
This is also a matter that concerns the usage of the word testbed. One of the properties of a testbed that can be called a testbed, rather than a production service, is that none of the users are surprised when it goes away. If you place users in a situation where they are surprised when things go away, it's no longer a test bed. That's kind of my litmus test for the difference between testing and production. And I very much advise testing. Testing is good. Production is not good.
Thank you for that, Harold. Roger, you had a comment.
Yeah, thank you. Just to clarify a couple of comments that were made that it might be useful to add some background to. First, the comment that YJ made earlier in her report, I think, is important to note because it colors much of the rest of the discussion that took place. The test bed that VeriSign began last year in providing multilingual registrations under ComNet and Norg was not the first multilingual service to enter the market. In fact, there were quite a few other non-ICANN, non-route-based multilingual services that were active in the market prior to the VeriSign testbed and ComNet and Norg. Since the VeriSign testbed began, the number of competing multilingual services has grown substantially, and a majority of the market for multilingual registrations today is not served by service providers who have any relationship with ICANN whatsoever. In fact, the principal service provider who has a relationship with the Names Council, the DNSO and ICANN, is of course VeriSign and its testbed. Under these circumstances, I think it's important to understand that any action by VeriSign to suspend, slow down, or restrain its active pursuit of the market for multilingual testbed, for multilingual registration services, will have the immediate effect of conceding the market to non-ICANN-related service providers. And I think it is of some consequence to us in particular, and I'm sure to the ICANN board, that the market for multilingual registration services not be dominated by non-ICANN-related or non-DNSO-related service providers. Second, I'd also comment that I think it is universally recognized and agreed, a couple of things with regard to the testbed. One is that it is a temporary service. There's never been any dispute or question, but that when a standard is developed, and no one knows when a standard will be developed, but when a standard is developed, that the service would migrate to it, and every single registrant has been notified, and every registrar participating in the testbed has been reminded of their obligation to continuously notify registrants that that a migration will occur at such time as a standard is deployed, and that in that migration, it is possible that some registrations could be lost. Hopefully none will be. Every effort will be made to preserve every registration. But the best one can hope for in any commercial undertaking is not perfection, but rather full disclosure, so that registrants understand any risks that they take by participating in it. So I think that the probably the most important point I wanted to make is that it goes back to the beginning of my comments in YJ's report, that it's impossible to look at the subject of multilingual services, multilingual registration services in an ICANN isolated sense
it's one piece of a highly competitive market, and I think it's important to note that that is generally, if you look at the report by the ICANN board committee, Kato-san's committee on this, their approach has been to try to look at the whole market and the whole range of activities and see how it is emerging or evolving.
Okay, thank you for that. To return to YDS proposal then, are we on happy council to accept moving forward with a task force? There will be one nomination from each constituency. That seems okay. Paul, did you want to intervene on that point?
No, I'll come in later.
Let's just complete that then. In which case, can I ask constituencies then to think which representative they would like to nominate for that, and do so perhaps the latest 7 days from now. We would then disband the interim committee, and they will take up those terms of reference, and the new task force will then take up the terms of reference set by the interim. Paul, please make an intervention now, followed by Milton.
Sorry?
I said please go ahead and say what you want to say.
Just following up on Roger's point, as a representative of the registrar's constituency, it's obviously of concern if a registrar is providing a service to a registrant that runs the risk of not working, where they buy a domain that due to technical changes, doesn't function. I would feel a lot more comfortable, and I'm sure a significant number of registrars would be more comfortable, if any decision to move to deployment mode was delayed until after the IETF had met in London, and indeed if YJ's committee was willing, I would propose that we make a recommendation to the board to defer making any decision with regards to deployment until after the IETF has had chance to consider the position in London. We are talking August, we're not talking much longer, and it could be in London there is a broad agreement of the technical platform that should work. But I would propose that we actually firm this one up a bit.
May I just ask, is this a new business item that comes?
Well, yes, we're drifting a little indeed. Let's table that in terms of having mentioned Paul and Milton, you had a comment.
Yeah, I just am getting very confused about the role of the DNSO in this process. If I understand what Roger is saying, and rarely I'm in sympathy with Roger's position here, is that the IDNS standard is being deployed in the marketplace, and that the DNSO has no say over what that standard will be, and if we try to stop things in their tracks and assert a role for the DNSO and ICANN, that we are in effect simply conceding the market to registries that or service providers that are not part of ICANN. This is starting to sound a lot like my concerns about the multiple routes issue. I don't want to raise that now, for God's sake, no. But what I'm saying is, what is our role here? Can somebody tell me what we're being asked to do? Are we being asked to set the standard for multilingual names?
No.
I'm sorry, just on order, if we're going to debate the resolution now, then we can divert from the agenda and do so. If we're going to debate the resolution during new business, we can debate it then, but I...
Roger, thank you for that. Teresa, do you have a point?
Yeah, I actually did, yeah. I tend to support what... I have to see what Paul said. what Paul had said, I do think that there is an impact in the sense that, no, we're not experts on IDN, and I'm certainly not a technical person whatsoever, but if there's implications on businesses and the ability to run a business or offer a service, then we do start having some questions, and I understand that if the working group or the task force is looking at this, and there is an opportunity to make a recommendation based on some work that the technical community is doing that would then benefit all users of the Internet, I think it's certainly worth thinking about proposing.
Okay, Paul, what I propose perhaps, if you wanted to go further with that, is to table a proposal, I mean, perhaps after this meeting, so that we can take it online to go forward, because I don't think we're prepared necessarily to make a rational judgment on that. I mean, having raised the issue, I think that's enough probably for now.
I agree.
Right, Jane.
Yes. I just make a comment regarding like Milton's point, and I think his point in some sense very pertinent, like as Roger raised such kind of non-icon or non-DNSO things. So that's why I think probably Kato-san has been working with the other groups too, and also like this Names Council Task Force is willing to work with those groups who are not in icon process yet.
Okay, thanks for that.
That will be complemented.
Let's just round off then on the issue before we move on. So a task force will be established, nominations in 7 days, meets consistency please. And could that task force choose its chairman from amongst those seven? Self-nominations for chairman fully acceptable. And the next item is review. Teresa.
My favorite topic. The group that was tasked with the terms of reference for the next steps in the DNSO review process did its activities online. There was rather limited participation, but we have a document, so I will go through the document. The implementation of the terms of reference, we still need to discuss, and I'd like to have some input on the Names Council here on how to go forward with implementing these action items. The sense is that one task force with responsibility to implement the action items with subgroups for specific issue areas may be the wisest approach. However, I leave that open to discussion afterwards. We were designated to outline things that were in relation to the business plan from the review process. So the consultation on the action is to accept the framework proposed by Working Group D as it is, and also turn the Working Group D procedures into a sharper set of guidelines. It was felt that this would be good to give it a chance to see how it works. If it doesn't work, then one can revisit the issue. But Working Group D had a very long, extended, and open process, and it'd be nice to see how it goes forward. With regards to the DA chair, review the current system of elections for the General Assembly chair and propose changes if required. And report basically that the task force would report on the current system and then assess whether any changes are needed. So that's a fairly simple, straightforward. Individual domain name holders constituency, that was also discussed in the review process. The action item there is that there's recognition that there's strong support for an individual domain name holders constituency. The outstanding issue is really next steps, and that the task force would be tasked with exploring the various options that exist in the next steps for moving forward on an individual domain name holders constituency. Language diversity, to make a determination on the costs and implement an effective means to provide translations based on determining what the costs are and how that's going to be funded. On consensus, review the consensus models used elsewhere and outline a practical definition that would then be proposed for use within the DNSO process. So what remains open is just the next steps, how to move forward with these terms of reference.
Okay, thank you for that. Comments on questions? Milton?
I'm sorry, I missed exactly what you asked for with respect to the individual domain name holders.
Oh, the action item there that was outlined in the terms of reference. Was that there is strong support for an individual domain name holders constituency. So the outstanding issue is really next steps and options to discuss on what the next steps are to move forward on establishing one, you know, does one accept proposals, does one form a separate task force to explore further options, does one designate, you know, the GA to be it. There's a lot of questions on the next steps, but I think we have all agreed in the review process indicated that there was strong support to establish one. So the task force here implementing these terms of reference is tasked with defining what the next step is to get that moving forward.
Okay, so you don't accept motions now to do anything regarding that, or we're just giving a report now, or are we making motions as to what these next steps are?
Well, no. What this is I've outlined the action items for the terms of reference as we had talked about. The decision that we need to make here is do we want to establish a task force to now take action on the action items and move forward on them? Or does, do we want a working group, or do we want to just implement them? And that's sort of the next step that we need to discuss here. My personal sense is a task force with subgroups in order to move things along quickly would be a good approach, but I'd like to hear people's opinions on that. But I think we've clearly defined areas. I'm sorry. We've been going through the review. We've identified some main issue areas. I think we can move forward on them, and so that's what we need to decide.
Well, yes, I think we all agree we want to be very much at the implementation stage here and carry out the things we'd like to do to fulfill indeed what we got from the review process up to date and the working group review results and others. I think, I mean, my sense would also be a task force probably makes sense, and then parts of that task force do the individual things that you were mentioning there. I think I might be foolish enough to probably volunteer to chair that task force if that was acceptable to the committee, because it's an interest of mine to move forward with this. I think it's been very good work so far. And is that an acceptable way to move forward? And also would ask constituencies to nominate their representative, Roger?
Philip, if I understand correctly, you are recommending the creation of a task force on DNSO reform, which would be structured like others, one representative from each constituency and volunteer.
Yes.
And you volunteered yourself to chair the task force.
Exactly. And that task force would carry out that.
The action items.
That action item that Teresa just
went
through.
And Teresa, would you just briefly repeat the action items of the task, not in detail, but just sort of touch upon the action items so there's no
under the
what it is that's implemented.
Okay. As in the business plan, under the DNSO review section, there were outlined specific areas, and these are the proposed action items on those specific areas. On consultation, accepting and working with the working group B proposal and guidelines and adjusting those and then seeing where it goes. Yes?
I'm sorry, I've been having trouble hearing this afternoon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I would feel uncomfortable if we form a task force like this and we did not include the chairman of the GA on the task force.
I agree.
I think it's very important that the GA be included in any action like this, because that's the driving force for this.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. I'll just continue through this and then we can continue the discussion. GA chair, the action item would be to, hold on, where is it? Review the current system of the elections and assess whether any changes would be beneficial or not. On the individual domain name holders constituency, it is, the recognition is that there's strong support. The action is to determine the next steps based on various options that exist, and to make a recommendation on the implementation so that can move forward quickly. On language diversity, to determine what the costs are and make a recommendation on a cost-effective means to provide translations within the DNSO so we can move on that. And on consensus, the action is to review existing consensus models and come up with a outline for a practical definition within the DNSO.
Nelson, I'm not sure if this is a redundant motion, but are we adding the GA chair to this task force?
I was about to clarify that.
Okay, I would like to see the GA chair in the task force.
Is everybody happy with that, tonight, Council? Any comments on that? No, I agree completely. The next agenda item includes an address from GA chair, so we can find out if that is acceptable to him at that point, but we will nevertheless make the invitation. YJ.
Just one is point of clarification regarding the task force. Is it the task force which already agreed to form this individual domain name holders constituency, and then is this task force is supposed to just discuss procedural issues, or is this task force going to discuss from the beginning whether there is going to be need to like form this specific constituency? It's a little bit confusing to me.
Teresa.
I think my understanding is, and please correct me if I'm wrong, that there has been in the review process and in overall discussion, the recognition and general support, I'm not saying that it's 100% everybody is on board, but very, very strong support for an individual domain name holder's constituency. I realize that there's outstanding questions whether one should wait till the at-large report is completed before that formulation, or whether it should go ahead, or whichever it is. But I think overall there is a recognition that individual domain name holders should somehow be recognized and incorporated within the model where it's unclear. And so on the issue of next steps, it's really to the task force to take a look at what the options are. And if the proposal of the task force is to wait till the at-large report is done, then fine. If the proposal is, you know, take independent proposals within the DNSO and then evaluate proposals, that's also fine. But it's just a matter of, we've gone through step one, is recognition that there's strong interest in having one by the participants in the community. It's really just a question of what is the next step and how to move forward on it. I don't think we need to ask the question anymore if one's needed.
Okay, Ken and then Benny.
I might clarify something with respect to the inclusion of the GA chair in the task force. I think that basically what I'm really saying is I think the GA needs to have a designee to the task force. We could say the chair, but I wouldn't want the chair to be so diluted with participations in various groups that he may or she may not feel effective. So I think it should be up to the GA to decide who they would designate. So I can you might substitute GA chair or designee in that area. We have 19 people to devote to task force. If we insist that it only be this person, it may not be equitable or practical either.
Sure. Benny.
Yes. I have in the list recalled in the GA list, right? I recall about the individual domain names holders constituency that I can by laws set up some kind of procedure to create new constituencies. How this task force match with these the bylaws, because the bylaws said that any group of individuals or entities can request to the board directly the creation of new constituencies, and then bylaws describe the process, go to a public forum, and then if the ICANN board authorized, then the Names Council is asked, right? Is this task force is not like reversing things? What? I don't know.
I answer the question. In my view, no. I think we're merely anticipating the process. The process, as you correctly say, is any group can self-organize and apply to the ICANN board to be recognized. And the ICANN board then typically will consult and will consult the Names Council. I think we're merely preparing ourselves for that if that process is continuing. So I think we match the existing process, in my view. Milton.
Maybe we give you a more specific charge as the chair of this task force to prepare essentially an RFP for an individual's constituency so that anybody out there can see what we're looking for and anybody can apply. And then it's a question for the board to decide which one best meets the criteria.
I think that's probably quite a good model indeed, looking at that for the future. Was there an IP intervention there?
Yeah, I just wanted to mention it's Caroline, for Benny's sake, that this process did go through ICANN before. I'm aware, I think, of at least two times where a proposal was sent directly to the board and was rejected, but because of the support, that's why we're going this other route. We're not bypassing ICANN, but you know, I think the hope is that with a full discussion and bottoms-up process, that a proposal that will come up that would be acceptable to the board, which previously has not been.
Yeah. Other comments? No. So are we agreeable then to accept that proposal to go ahead with a task force to invite the DA chair and or nominee to be part of that? Is that what everybody? Yeah. Okay, let's go ahead and do that. And could I also ask then constituencies to take 7 days to make their nominee known and pass the nominations to the list as usual? So that's very good. Teresa, last comment?
Yeah, just a point of clarification. So the group that dealt with this is now closed.
Exactly.
And
the work of the interim group is done.
Okay, good.
You are fulfilling your
definition. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
You fulfilled your definition of interim.
Thank you.
I just have a question more. You talk about the translations. How would be the cost-effective way to do translations and things? Who will be paying these translations?
I'm sorry, who will be what?
I mean, you talk about that the DNS will be preferred is also considered in the translations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who will be paying those translations?
Paying, okay. That's what's incorporated in the action item. We recognize that translations are needed. It's now we need to explore, or we need somebody in that part of the task force in this review implementation to explore what options exist, what the cost is, hopefully find maybe a very, very cost-effective way of doing it, perhaps, you know, taking volunteers and calling on volunteers.
Yes, well, whatever generate cost is, even $1, imagine that someone charged only $1. Who will be the pocket that will pay it?
Yes, well, that's something that they're going to, if they come up with a method that is going to require payment, then that's obviously something that A, would have to be a proposal and says, this is what it's going to cost, where is the money going to come from, or, you know, some other means. If there's a payment option incorporated, we're going to have to figure out whether that's something we want to do.
But the bottom answer at the moment, Vanny, is the DNSO funds or whatever they happen to be, because we're looking at at the nature of translations for DNSO communication activities.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That is.
I mean, it still is not decided who will be paying them.
Right. Yeah. Okay. It's not even known what it costs yet.
Yeah. Okay, thank you for that. Move on to the last item, TLDs. If you recall, as part of our business plan, we wanted to have a review and evaluation of new TLD registries with respect to the impact on net users and the creation of a stable domain name system with high user confidence, and to propose changes for consideration by the board, and to review and evaluate the selection criteria for additional new applicants and new TLDs, proposed changes and rollout schedule for consideration by the ICANN board. We decided to postpone implementation of that until such time as our GTLD constituency was up to force, because we felt that input from the new people in particular in that constituency would be valuable, as they would have gone through the experience and the process in great detail. That has, of course, now happened. So should we therefore think about how we implement that particular part of the business plan? Ken?
I have an inquiry here. I'm sorry I haven't been able to get my mail, but it's my understanding that the board in the last couple of days has made a recommendation for establishment of a committee to do something quite similar to what we are proposing. First of all, are we getting a bit duplicitous here, or do we have the cart before the horse? Should we not wait until the board's study is completed and we can use that as a basis for input for us? Or I'd like some feelings on that, if you could, please.
Yeah. Roger.
I think there's a fair amount of concern within the GTLD constituency about how this issue is addressed, and I think there's quite a lot of concern that, however it's addressed, that expertise and knowledge of sort of how the new GTLDs are actually working, what problems they're encountering, and how they're addressing problems is taken into account. I would say from the perspective of our constituency, since none of the new GTLDs is yet operational, and since any evaluation is something which would occur after there's been some period of evaluation, there's no compelling need to do something at this moment. There remains a council priority at some point to look into this. As Ken pointed out, we don't know what the action the board will be taking. The GTLD constituency has a resolution that's going to circulate later on the proposed board action. But I guess I would say that I don't think that the circumstances have fundamentally changed, although there have been dramatic changes in agreements being signed. The circumstances haven't dramatically changed since the last time when we decided let's wait a little bit of time on this. And yes, Philip, you're correct in noting that one of the considerations the last time was let's wait until the GTLD constituency is fully populated, but that event took place really in the last few days. So it would be, I think, unfair or premature to think that the constituency has any sort of coherent observations on this proposal yet. So I would urge that we continue to defer on this until the next meeting, probably the Montevideo meeting, by which time we'll have a lot more experience as a constituency and we'll have a lot better understanding of sort of when various services will be active in the market.
Okay, thank you for that. Roger Milton.
Yeah, I think without necessarily specifically addressing the issue of whether we do something now or later, as Roger suggests, one of my concerns in this process is looking at the information that is being collected as part of the, quote, proof of concept, unquote. A lot of that information is being withheld from the public. It's some of it you can understand pretty clearly why. It has to do with, you know, fairly sensitive commercial information, but a lot of the information looked to me like it did not need to be withheld, and I'm wondering, is there any flexibility in that? Can the DNSO say to ICANN, if you're not going to expose it to the public, can you expose it to a committee of the Names Council, which will at least have some basis independent of ICANN staff for evaluating whether these so-called tests are actually working?
Okay, I think that's an interesting point. I mean, it may be what we should do on this issue is indeed to delay taking a decision, at least until our next Names Council meeting, in order to assess, indeed, Milton's point, what information might be useful to have as a DNSO, and to see how we're doing and what was in our earlier written business plan coincides with the aspirations of the ICANN's process, and then evaluate once we're better informed. I think that would be my feeling. Are we all happy with that? Yeah? Okay. That completes item one on the agenda. And we move on to item two, if Danny Young is in the room. Danny, are you here?
Well, indeed.
So you can give us a quick roundup of the events of this morning.
Thank you, Philip. I've been asked here pretty much to report on what the General Assembly's work items will be going forward, essentially. What is our agenda? The quick answer is that our agenda is part and parcel of what the Names Council works on. When you decide to take up a particular domain name policy issue and invite us to participate in that process, we are there. In the event that you have a fairly static business plan that doesn't allow for perhaps some contingencies, we will do what we have done previously, and that is bring a domain name issue, a new one, to your attention. In the process of doing so, of course, we would like to have the opportunity to then have a working group convened so that we can tackle the issue. By and large, we don't want to be working independently. Yes, we have our own mailing lists that address topical issues. We are concerned with matters like privacy rights, to a limited degree, limited at least by considerations of who is. We respect and appreciate the initiatives shown by organizations like TUCAUS to bring this to your attention. We want to work on those areas. And if the Names Council will not be currently addressing those areas, we feel fairly comfortable taking them on in our particular venue. We will be dealing with UDRP, as we have strong feelings that this is a product that is in need of a bit of work. We certainly will be happy, along the lines that you have recommended, to cooperate in a working group environment to essentially tackle this particular problem. With respect to the DNSO review, of course, that's probably number one issue. We want to move forward as expeditiously as possible to guarantee the rights of individuals in the process. The General Assembly has put forward and passed a resolution calling upon the board to act on this matter. Again, we will wait and see what develops. So one way or another, we are there to aid in the process of determining any necessary criteria or procedures to allow for new and emerging constituencies to have their opportunity at representation in the ICANN process. Overall, we know that there are still a few remaining areas in which we have interest, and it's a strong interest. We are concerned that perhaps more input could be provided by the General Assembly to the at-large study committee. We feel that we are a consensus-formulating body, and if the at-large study committee is having a problem coming to a consensus, perhaps we'll be in a position to assist, because that is one of our skill sets. We don't want to go too far afield. Yes, within the course of the last 2 weeks, we asked our membership what should be our agenda. We received a lot of replies. Now I need to go back to our membership and in the course of the next week determine if there are specific areas in which we need to focus. We want to do a thorough and proper job. We need a sense of focus, and we were hoping that through collaboration with the Names Council, through an attempt to cooperate with the business plan in particular, that we could merge and mesh our interests so that we're all pretty much on the same page. And with regard to the opportunity to participate with respect to the individual's constituency, clearly I would like to extend the opportunity to the membership of the General Assembly to select their own representative. And, of course, we will address this immediately.
Okay, Danny, thank you for that.
Thank you all.
Comments or questions for Danny? Anybody? No, that was clear. Thank you very much. We move on to item 3 on our agenda, and this is a report of the Committee on Multiple DNS Routes and Names. Grant.
Thank you, Scott. I think I'd just like to start my report back to the Names Council on this matter by noting that what's happened, I think, is a reasonably good demonstration of the responsiveness of the Names Council to this issue. Following the Names Council meeting in Melbourne, there was quite a surge in discussion on various DNSO lists on the subject of what's variously referred to as either alternate routes, experimental routes, alternate name services, etc. And that was therefore a request came to the Names Council that it be included on our agenda, and as a contribution to that, I submitted a draft paper on the subject. Following discussion of my paper, the Names Council at its 9th of May meeting, audio meeting, agreed to form a committee to gather information on the subject, to educate ourselves, and to review that information such that the committee was in a position at this meeting to make a proposal as to If so, where to next? I can inform the Names Council and the wider internet community that the committee received a number of papers which have been posted to the Names Council site, and I'd just like to thank and acknowledge those individuals who contributed. Jeffrey Newman of New Level, Carl Auerbach of the board, Kilman Chon, Ken Crispin, Stuart Lin, Dan Younger, we've just heard, David Hanan of New.net. These were in addition to the IAB paper of May 2000 referenced in my own paper and also a paper from Milton Mueller, my fellow Bank Council rep. In addition, there was some useful information provided by way of email discussion here. I'd like to thank Harald Alvestrand and William Walsh particularly. It's not my intent to try and precy any of the papers here. I think it's far more beneficial for those who have an interest in the subject to read the particular papers. But rather, I think, to note that there were recurring themes coming through the papers that were raised by the papers, but interestingly, often with diametrically opposing interpretations and conclusions on those matters. And I think it's just worth noting that some of the major issues that came through were the stability of the internet and the impact of alternate route naming systems, etc., the need for unique naming schemes, and issues of competition and coordination. I think it's suffice to say that the committee is broadly of the view that there is sufficient interest and thought of potential impact from these experimental and alternative naming schemes that further consultation by the Names Council is warranted, and in particular with other support organisations of ICAM. And so I suggest, Mr. Chairman, after hearing from my fellow committee members and other Names Council members on the matter, it would be my intent to propose a motion moving forward that the DNSO open consultation with the support organisations and also with the General Assembly, as they obviously have an interest in this, and I think it would be useful to combine with them on that. So with that, over to you.
Okay, Grant, thank you. Comments, questions? Milton.
Yes, I'd like to maybe propose a modification of Grant's proposal. I like the idea of consulting on this, but it seems to me we have to give the consultations a little more shape. So I would propose that this consultation take place on the GA routes list, the GA routes at dnso.org, that the relevant people from the ASO and the PSO be invited to join that list, and that we appoint a chair of that list, who somebody fairly neutral, well, it would have to be somebody fairly neutral, to enforce relevance and decorum on this discussion. I'm thinking of somebody like Brett Fawcett, who would be a good person to put in charge of the management of the moderation of the list, if you will. Somebody that is not a partisan in this discussion, which, as we all know, can get very partisan. I'm wondering whether Grant likes that idea, or whether he even heard it.
Other comments, questions before we address that? And I think how we consult with the GA is clearly a question. I think I'm slightly uncomfortable about wishing to impose our choice of chairman on a GA mailing list, but please.
I actually have a thought based, I think, on a little bit of concern on subjecting people who may not want to be subjected to more mailing lists than they're already participants of, and at least I know that we're conscious of that. To perhaps just suggest that the Names Council chair consult with the other supporting organizations and report back to the Names Council on what you hear on this.
Okay.
So that, I don't mean to put more burden on you, but as a representative of the Names Council for the DNSO, liaise with the other SOs and figure out.
We need to ask the question short, and I'm happy to say that task,
right.
Roger.
Sorry, I didn't.
Sorry, Philip, I stepped out and I'm a little bit confused, so at the risk of asking Grant to repeat something he may have already said, have you given the Council a proposal to establish a formal work group, or is the proposal to simply recognize that the General Assembly has a discussion that's going on and that their discussion has been going on and will go on? I'm not sure what
I'm not sure if there is a proposal, and if there is a proposal, what it is.
You've stepped right back in the right time there, Roger. No, I have not made a motion. I guess I gave notice of my intent or wish to put a motion before the Names Council, and the nature of that motion, which I don't know if I get to yet, but happy to very shortly, is that the Names Council enters into consultation, which is quite different, I guess, to a working party, but rather it's been obvious in receiving these papers and from discussions that have arisen, not only in the Names Council, but particularly in these halls, and in particular, I think this morning in the General Assembly, that that it would be very useful at this stage to open that consultation up, and that's my proposal.
Just to clarify further, this is a new term to me, open a consultation. Is that equivalent to saying create a new work group with the characteristics of previous work groups, or is this a task? Given the procedures we normally have, I'm trying to figure out how open a consultation fits in, or if it's something different.
I think it's just asking the question of another SO, isn't it, and saying this is the issue. I think it's just asking the question of another SO, isn't it? This is the issue. Has your SO got an opinion on it? I think that's
probably what's proposing Milton. But the problem I'm running into here, Roger, is the same problem I have, is that to ask for consultations is meaningless, really. I mean, there's consultations going on all the time. What does it mean? Are these consultations going to be visible? Are they going to be formally structured? Are they going to result in a particular report? And what I'm proposing is simply to give them a little more structure and also allow everybody to see what goes on in these consultations by inviting these people to submit comments and papers and reactions via an existing work group, which is, not a working group, a mailing list that is already focused on this issue. And in order to deal with the problems that Roger is alluding to, that we appoint a chair with very strong moderating powers over this list who can, you know, basically keep all the comments pertinent, bump people off who are dilatory or abusive, and basically let a consultation process go forward in that way,
uh-huh,
which is very, you know, visible and open.
Yeah, Elizabeth.
I'm a little bit confused. I'd like to understand, Milton, are you requesting that all these people from various supporting organizations, right, from various other organizations like ITF, EAB, etc., that all these people write to GRU's list? I'm not sure if it would be a really efficient way of doing it.
I'm assuming that they would appoint one person to fulfill that role, I guess. I mean, I'm sure they would find an efficient way to do it.
YJ, and then Teresa. Yeah.
I think this process is, as Roger pointed out, quite new process to us, because it's a little bit confusing whether this is previous working group stage or not, and what kind of like expectation we do have from this work sort of like consultation process. Do we specifically look forward to some kind of report from this consultation process, or it's a little bit confusing because since we are trying to appoint some chair for this specific mailing list, so it's a little bit, it needs some kind of clarification. And I think if it wants to like look for such kind of consultation, it might be better just to go for working group stage rather than really vague mailing list.
Peter.
I'd like to reinforce the idea of not loading up this list. I mean, basically, we manage our own consensus process, how we're doing it, and the other supporting organizations presumably manage theirs. If we wish to consult, why not just send them a message asking them to consult and tell us what their position is, and use their own list to do their own consulting?
Exactly. Well, I think that's the proposal that Grant was giving us, right? It's well, as you say, as you characterize. Caroline, go ahead.
I guess I tend to agree with that, and I think this is a very, very loaded question. I think in our last conference call, one thing that we need to focus on is what aspect of this issue is really, quote, ICANN related, and thus would be something that we would, as a DNSL, be interested in. So to the extent that, whatever you want to call them, alternate routes or naming, different naming schemes, you know, how internet stability, if that somehow affects the ICANN process, then clearly that's something that we're interested in. But I think we raised before the issue of, are we getting into something that actually we don't really have jurisdiction over? The second point I would have is I don't mind the consultation in terms of these mailing lists, but if remind everybody, just in coming up with the title of the agenda item, we had at least 10 or 20 emails on what that should be. And so I would tend to want to have a lot more definition before we open up a list on this, only so that we don't subject people to a lot of, you know, being inundated with a lot of emails that aren't of real substance. That's my opinion.
Caroline, thank you for that. I think there's probably quite a lot of sympathy for that point of view. Teresa and then Roger.
I'm sorry.
No. Teresa on behalf of Grant and then Roger.
Okay, that's a lot of responsibility. I support what, I like the approach that both Peter and Caroline recommend. I think what we're trying to define here is the issue of what is open consultation. The fact of the matter is, I'm sure these organizations have their own consultation thing. We'd like to hear what it is. Let's give a formal request to hear what it is and get the response and post it up and make it transparent and open.
Okay.
I completely agree with one of the more important points Carolyn made a moment ago, which is that what we should look at is what we do, and it really, in this case, if people want to go out and set up computer networks that compete with the internet or compete with the ICANN single route, they are free to do so and, you know, go out and do so. And we, those are in a sense competitors to what the ICANN and DNSO are responsible for. So I don't see us sort of having a policy review of what our competitors are doing. I think so. I'm a little confused on what it is that we would be examining, and maybe this goes back to the point that Carolyn was making, was defining this. The topic is awfully difficult because I have a hard time seeing a topic of our defining what other people are doing when their purpose is essentially to compete with us. Secondly, I would say, I'm uneasy about sort of vaguely defined initiatives that you put up a bulletin board and let anybody comment on it who would like to, or create a in effect a work group without calling it a work group. I guess I'm not comfortable that we have reached the point yet where we've defined what the it is. To support the creation of almost anything, which is not to say the subject matter is not an important subject matter. I think it's a very important subject matter, but what we look at is what we do, and looking at what others are doing or others who are essentially competitors are, I'm not sure where we fit into that.
Well, Roger, I think yes. I mean, I certainly share your sense there that we're not like ready yet to go to any further step should that be necessary in terms of the issue and confidence and relevance. Paul, you were first in the queue.
Yeah, I would like to really follow up and support what Caroline and Teresa actually started off by saying, is that at this preliminary stage, it may be helpful to consult with other SOs within the ICANN structure to establish what they think. I cannot see why...
Talk about what?
I can't see how ICANN has any jurisdiction over what a certain entity or entities seek to do. The issue I would have in the ICANN framework is to try and make sure that the processes that ICANN has for new GTLDs are such that the benefits of being part of the ICANN process far outweigh the benefits of trying to do something outside of ICANN.
And at this preliminary stage, one, I don't see how ICANN has any jurisdiction over a whole host of these alternative approaches. So I would support what Teresa said and Caroline alluded to, which is we consult within the ICANN framework to establish what the views are if we do actually have a role, because I personally don't see it.
Okay, Peter, just want to make this last comment.
The question of jurisdiction, I don't think, is the big issue here. Certainly, ICANN has no jurisdiction over what is out of their control. But I think what is more important is that by exposing this process and doing this some kind of open consensus-building process, we would be able to encourage others to come to the consensus that it is better to be in the system than out of it. And it is better and more appropriate and more useful to have a domain that is domain name that is going to last in perpetuity and always be recognizable and so forth. And that it would be more, it's not going to be by legislation or fiat here, it's going to be by inducement and attraction. And anything that we can do to get people to embrace the concept of coming within the system because of the obvious benefits, they may not know what the benefits are. We may need to tell them. Mm-hmm. Would be good.
Okay, may I speak now?
Okay, Wilson.
We're talking about my motion as I understand it. Let me just explain what the rationale is. I tried to propose an amendment to Grant's motion. Typically, the procedure is you deal with the amendment.
Sorry, Grant hadn't actually tabled the motion. He'd only given us notice of the idea.
Get closer to the mic.
Did you ask me to retable the motion that I made several minutes ago?
No, I'm sorry. I hadn't picked up on the problem that you had actually tabled the motion.
I proposed that we use the GA Roots mailing list as the basis for this consultation. We've been discussing that for about 10 minutes. Let me just try to explain what my perspective on this is and why I'm proposing it the way we do this. Look, if you want to say ICANN has no jurisdiction over these other efforts and that they don't affect us at all, then you don't need a consultation, you don't need to do anything. So I would ask Grant, if he really believes that, and if you really believe that, to withdraw the motion and we'll just sit here and we'll do nothing. I would support that if you want to be consistent about it. What I do see happening, however, is I see very strong efforts to criticize some of these other efforts, to declare them illegal, to discourage them, to accuse them of creating instability in the Internet. May or may not be true. Okay, if we're going to say these things about these other efforts, then we need to have an open and factual, extended, calm discussion about that. Okay, the reason that I supported Peter's original motion to create this small committee was that I saw three distinct policy issues: NewNet initiative, creating possibly critical mass of new TLDs outside of ICANN. I saw conflicts with other namespaces in the .biz assignment, and an inconsistency in the ICANN policy regarding how to handle that. They avoided conflict in the case of .web. They created conflict in the case of .biz. It seemed to me we needed to clarify what we were doing. Also, something that's been almost totally ignored was this question of the next generation root server, which was proposed in a paper by Professor Chan, in which we wanted to talk about the geographic distribution of root servers, the possibility of multilingual names creating splits, which we've already discussed today. Again, my opinion was that we can't ignore these issues, but if we're going to treat them in this way, I would rather that we do ignore them. Perhaps at our peril, perhaps not. Perhaps we can safely ignore them. But if we're saying we have no jurisdiction, we're not going to do anything about it, let's stick to that. Let's not have a consultation with anybody. Let's just shut up about it and do our business. Mm-hmm. If we are going to say something about it, let's do it right. Let's have a nice, open, calm, extended process where we discuss it.
Okay, Milton, your point's clearly made. Roger.
I appreciate Milton's invitation and agree with him. I don't think that there is anything we should do in the subject of alternate routes. They are competitors to the services that we provide. And I think perfectly consistent with the conversation we had earlier regarding multilingual. I think that in each of the activities that we undertake,
whether it's UDRP, who is trademark intellectual property. We need to increasingly recognize that there is competition, and we need to take into account the work that we're doing in each functional area, the fact that there are other networks out there, other service providers out there, beyond the reach of the DNSO, the Names Council, or ICANN. I think that's how you take into account the development of competing computer networks. As to Milton's other point, I don't follow all of the stuff as closely as I should. Obviously, he's concerned that some people have been making accusations, and therefore somebody needs to look into it. And I don't think the Names Council has ever accused anybody of everything, and therefore I don't see any reason that the Names Council needs to investigate something it's never done but somebody else may have done. So I actually do come out to the same place that Milton does, which is I don't see any need for us to look into this topic. I could see us taking this phenomenon into account in lots of things we're doing.
Yeah, thank you, Roger. I think I share that. Let's try and end this item rather rapidly. Teresa and then Tony. And then perhaps come back to Grant, because I think I'd just like to make a decision one way or the other on this. My sense is that we're moving towards the almost tabled motion by Grant. Teresa.
I'm going to keep this brief. I just want to point out that I think we need to be very clear about what we mean with competition. Yes, there is competition, but in some of these cases, my understanding is the alternate route or whatever options exist are not actually competition, as in providing a service that allows the consumer to still have universal resolvability and participate in uniqueness, i.e. be able to communicate with anybody in the world that is anywhere. And that's something I think that we need to sort of take into consideration. Part of the system and the beauty of the internet is that I can communicate with Peter or Oscar. Doesn't matter where they are or what service they use. Personally, I think it's in our interest to keep it that way, but that's something that we need to look at. We want competition in the ability to keep it that way and for people to have a choice of what service they use. Some of these other things don't allow for that. So I think that we have a social responsibility and also responsibility in any steps that we take forward to ensure that we address it from that standpoint. So that's all I have to say on this. But I just wanted to clarify what we're looking at with regards to competition, because I can create my own intranet and talk to my three best friends, but I may not be able to talk to Roger.
Tony.
Well, I don't believe we should ignore this. I certainly accept fully the issues over competition. But when you speak about competition, you need to understand just what that competition is. And clearly from the discussion here, I don't think we understand this subject enough anyway. I don't believe we understand it enough to set in place a working group or to throw it out to a mailing list. And at this stage, I do believe we need to do something, and to consult with the other support organisations seems to offer a good way forward, and I tend to agree with the way we were heading on that.
Okay, that certainly seems to be the will of most voices I've heard. Grant?
Well, I think all that's left at this stage is having signalled the motion, I'll happily articulate that motion, and that is the motion be that the Names Council open consultation with other support organisations and the General Assembly on the subject of multiple routes and naming schemes. Now, I believe it's that which Milton then sought to amend by way of his addition that specifically that consultation would take place on the GA list. You'll note in my motion, there is no specificity as to the which list or whatever else, and I guess it was my idea or concept that we have our own list, and I presume the other bodies have their own lists, and I think they have therefore their own communities, and it's within their own communities that they would wish to seek to discuss at whatever level, whatever aspect that is important to them. Really what we're doing is, having had our own discussion on the matter, is to throw it open, and supporting what Tony just said. What we have learned is that people do have views, and it's useful therefore to, before making any decisions as to where, why and what, get those views from outside the Names Council, that's all.
Okay. Milton, having heard from your colleagues on this issue before we go for the vote on Grant's proposal, do you want to force a vote on the amendment or do you want to withdraw it?
I would simply vote on Grant's motion.
Okay, fine. Let's do that. Can I have a seconder for Grant's motion? Which is, okay, Theresa, fine. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against, please say no.
No.
Okay, that's sort of count. In favour of Grant's motion, please raise your hand. So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. On the telephone, IP, can you cast your votes now? IP disenfranchised by telephone connectivity. We'll hold up a moment. We might get back to them if they get connected. Those who would like to vote against the motion, please raise your hands. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, so funny, hang on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 against. And those wishing to abstain. Everybody voted. So IP, are you with us? IP constituency. No, you're not, so we can't hear from you. I think...
Yes.
How do you vote? Are you in favour?
In favour of Grant.
In favour, thank you. Axel, are you with us? Axel, are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Caroline, I can hear you. What's your vote?
Okay, sorry, our connection was on. Mine was in favour.
In favour. And Axel, are you there?
As in favour, yes.
Okay, so that's 3 votes in favour from the IP. That goes 9, takes us up to 12, if my counting is still correct. So, Louis, are you with us in the room? Does that motion pass according to our rules? We're 12 versus 8, which is okay, huh? Yeah, that's fine. So the motion carries. Thank you for that. Before we move on to the next item, I'm informed there was coffee outside for those lucky...
I'm holding a proxy for Erica, and I think Erica would vote no.
Okay, it still carries. Okay, 8 goes up to 9. I beg your pardon, not checking proxies, but it still carries. Thank you for recording Erica's vote. Coffee is outside. The audience can take as long as they like for the coffee break. I'd encourage the NC, if they'd like to order in time, that they go outside, they get a cup of coffee, and they come straight back.
Before wrapping up this discussion, can we sort of try to make it clear a little bit our Names Council's position? Because there were
I don't think so. I think we've just made a very clear vote as to what we're going to do, and we don't have a position on the issue.
It's not regarding the motion itself. I'm trying to
Ask me during the coffee break, which is 5 minutes, and then we can see if we're going to go further with that. So the meeting is 5 minutes max. So please, Names Council, please get your coffee and I'll turn to the table. Huh? No. Do we need that? Okay, well, we can touch it. Let's do the nose. Hang on. Wait a minute. Let me write this down. Roger. Okay, so Roger was all, and his lot with nose. We'll go to Strahl's wall nose. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm missing. Oh, Erica. That's right. That's still the 3. And the long comms. All right. That's fine. That's okay. Thank you.
A new expression along Old Harlem Way that tells you when a party is 10 times more than gay. They say the thing that jumps leaves not a single doubt that everything is in proportion when you hear someone shout. It is. The charge is jumping. It's really jumping. Come and cats and check your hats. I mean, the charge is jumping. The piano's thumping. The pencils are buffing. This is spot is more than hot. In fact, the joint is jumping. Check your weapon at the door. Be sure to pay your quarter. Burn your leather on the floor. Grab anybody's daughter. The roof is rocking. The neighbor's knocking. We all bumps when the wagon comes. I mean, the joint is jumping. Let it be. Yeah. Let this joint, boy. Yeah. get that stuff out. You are knocking to your knees, huh? Put this cat out of here. Get rid of that pistol. Get rid of that pistol. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, man. Is it ready? No, really, not now. I can't come over there right now. Jumping, really jumping. Any motions on his toes, I mean the joint is jumping. Come on, no time for talking. This place is walking. Get your cut the rope. It's John.
Name spousal, name spousal to return, please.
And in the kitchen. Who is that that just came in? Just look at the way he's switching, all right? We go to jail. I said to John Chapman. Don't give your right name.
No, no, no.
Where are our speakers?
We're reconvening the meeting, please. Take your seats, names, council, and audience.
I'm going to send an email to the asset, the other asset, and say, have you thought about this issue? Please let us know what your conclusion was.
If you want
to do that, the GA. I think we wait. We know the GA is sort of mailing this. So I think we wait to see what conclusions come from the GA.
Okay, then I'll get a message.
Well, I'd rather it wasn't over in public when he was asking the question.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we who voted yes were silly. We should have actually voted no. 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 No.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
Please help yourself.
Thank you. I hope so. Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start the meeting. Please check your seats. Okay, Jeff, before we start, I think we've just got a couple of moments of business here, and then we'll be right on to you. Sorry for the delay. Roger.
I admit that sometimes I have difficulty following some of the things the council does, and I find myself now having fallen into that situation with regard to the last action that we just took. It is not clear to me exactly what the council agreed to in the motion that was just passed, so I'd like to ask the chair, if he could, to sort of clarify for us with as much precision as possible what the council has agreed to do.
Roger, thank you for the question. I think I'm in agreement with your analysis in terms of confusion, because perhaps the will of the council was not best expressed in the format of yes, no to that particular vote. Would other members of the council also like to say anything at this point?
Well,
you'd indicate, yeah.
The question I tried to highlight was because the discussion we had, like early the discussion we had like in the beginning and later, the tone of the discussion was quite confusing, because in the beginning of the discussion, many people sort of like agreed not to discuss this, and then later we sort of agreed to discuss this with the different reasons, I guess. So we just wanted to make sure what is the reason to discuss, or what's the reason not to discuss. So if we don't want to discuss, that's the reason, because those multiple rules outside of the ICANN jurisdiction is not the responsibility for the DNSO and ICANN. But if we wanted to really discuss these issues, that's the reason, because we are responsible for such kind of integrity of like internet within the ICANN. So we really have to make sure what kind of like reasons or what kind of legitimacy we can discuss these issues.
I think I agree with that. Reasons for voting were not clear cut, I think, in that poll.
And I would like to support YJ insofar as I mentioned earlier. I believe in the ICANN authoritative route is the area that concerns us, and anything outside that, I believe, is outside our scope. And indeed, I would propose a motion more or less to that effect, that if the authoritative, if the ICANN route, okay, let me think of a motion. Can I come back to you on a specific motion? My view is that we are only interested in supporting the ICANN process. We are not interested in anything else, other than making sure the ICANN process tries to be as inclusive as possible, so people want to join the ICANN family rather than play in separate corners. That's our area of expertise. So I don't know how we can propose such a motion, but the motion, in my view, should be that it's outside scope and we should not get involved in consultations.
Okay, why don't we just take that? I think the will of most of us seem to be on that same side. So you're proposing, do you want to speak, or?
I would support Paul's motion. In effect, it reflects what I attempted to say earlier, which is that these services, which in a sense are competitive with us, are not the business of the Names Council to be examining or commenting on or whatnot. They are, on the other hand, part of the environment within which ICANN and the DNSO operate, so we need to take them into account and recognize that developments like this are occurring, but to study it or to look at it as our topic was the problem I was having. So I basically agree with Paul.
Okay, so you'll be seconding the motion. Paul, just think of crisp phrasing, which I'm going to ask you to repeat in a moment, while I take a question from YJ.
Yes, I also like to support Paul's motion, but we also have to make it clear we are not going to accuse or blame any other alternative or multiple routes outside, because the main reason some of people in this community wanted to discuss in the beginning was maybe because those people outside of the ICANN root servers have been accused or blamed because of those who might cause some kind of instability of internet, but in some sense there might be another their empire of internet which we cannot touch. So we also have to make it clear that point of fact.
Yeah, thank you for that. Are you ready, Mr. Kane?
How about this? The Names Council considers alternative routes are outside the scope of the ICANN DNSO.
Full stop. Okay. And just for clarification, then, if we vote in favour of this motion, we will be making null and void the last vote we took. Okay.
This is amendment. Can we say multiple routes rather than alternative routes, which it might give some kind of prejudice?
Yes, I think that was the agreed phrasing for DNSO purposes. Okay. So we're going to take a vote now. On the motion proposed by Paul Kane and seconded by... Did you have a point of order?
No, I mean, are we not going to discuss that motion? We're just going to vote up or down?
Well, I think we discussed it to death before the break. I was hoping to take this very quickly and move on. Are you happy with that?
I'll abstain if there's no opportunity for discussion.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'd like to make a comment.
Let's take the vote. Paul, you've made the motion. Roger seconded it. Those in favor of the motion, please raise their hands. I count as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
And Erica.
And Erica, 12. Those voting no, please raise their hands. Nobody. Those abstaining, please raise their hands. And I'll just make the abstentions. So it's Oscar.
Don't forget the people on the phone.
And Peter. Oh, yeah, indeed.
Can you hear me, Caroline?
2 seconds, IP. I'll be taking your vote in a moment. So we've got Oscar as a no and Peter as a no. We've got other no's here. Sorry, abstentions. I beg your pardon. Abstentions are all of the ISPs. And IP, Caroline, your vote?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, abstaining.
Abstaining, Caroline. Axel, your vote?
Abstaining, too.
Abstaining. And Guillermo?
My vote is no.
You're voting no. Okay. Then,
One more.
Fanny, I beg your pardon?
Yes?
Hmm?
Yes?
She's voting yes. She wasn't here before.
Oh, you're voting yes now for the vote. Okay. So that goes up to 13. Yes, again, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 abstentions and 1 no. I'm counting, Louis. Yeah. So that vote carries. Thank you very much. We move on to the item we're about to address. We're going to hear from both .biz and .info briefly with information about implementation. Jeff, the floor is yours. Now, can we have the microphone for the speaker stand, please?
Okay, thanks. I'd like to thank the Names Council for the opportunity to appear before here. Thank you. My name is Jeff Newman. I'm the Director of Policy and Intellectual Property for New Level, the ICANN-accredited registry operator for .biz. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to make this brief and just give a little bit of a status of where we are. We gave presentations to most, if not all, of the constituencies yesterday, and so I don't want to repeat the things that many of you have already heard, but I do want to go through a timeline. If this is working here, there we go. As most of you know, New Level is a joint venture between Neustar and Melbourne IT, but what I really want to spend some time on is going over the timeline. Before I step into these dates, we signed, as many of you know, we signed a contract with ICANN on May 11th of this year, and since then we've had over 70 registrars that have signed up to do business in .biz. And we're really excited about that. Just to give you an indication, what we have here up here is the .biz service launch schedule. We've divided our service into several phases. The first phase, the IP claim phase, began on May 21st this year, just a couple weeks ago. And that is the intellectual property claim service in which we began accepting intellectual property claim forms from trademark owners. And that's all trademark owners, not just registered trademark owners, but trademark owners that have an application in the process or trademark owners that have common law trademarks. We are going to be accepting IP claim forms until July 9th, 2001. You'll notice a little bit of overlap. I'll talk about the next phase, which is the domain name application service. We will begin accepting applications for domain names on June 25th. Once the registry will process domain name applications after July 9th, after the intellectual property claim service has ended. What we do, unlike any of the other top-level domains, is we match up domain name applications against the IP claim form database. And if there is an exact match, in other words, if someone applies for a mark in which an IP owner has submitted a claim form, we will notify the applicant of the alleged intellectual property rights by the trademark owner. And only then can a domain name applicant must decide affirmatively to go forward with the application. If the domain name owner, once notified of the intellectual property rights, decides not to go forward or does not respond to the registry, then we will not process the application. Again, that stage will last approximately from July 9th to approximately September 17th. That is, again, when we are accepting domain name applications. The overlap, I just want to reiterate, there is an overlap between when the claim form process ends and when the application stage begins, but we will not process, in other words, we will not match up the applications against the domain name, against the intellectual property claim forms until July 9th. Once, then phase three, which is up there as from September 25th until October 1st, is the domain name selection service. If there's only one application for a domain name, that application will be processed through to registration. If, however, there are multiple applications for the same domain name, then those applications will be randomized and one will be selected from that batch. On October 1st, all of the domain name registrations will be live with the exception of those that are subject to a claim form. Those domain names would be put on a 30-day hold. Around October 1st, when the registry goes live, that is when New Level will begin accepting registrations through the ICANN accredited registrars on a first-come, first-served basis. Also, that is the time when the WHOIS service becomes available, and the DNS service, again, is on a first-come, first-served basis, and the commencement of the 30-day hold period. If there was an IP claim form that was filed, the IP claimant will have an opportunity then, if they did not receive the domain name, to take advantage of a special unique startup dispute resolution process, which we've called STOP, or the Startup Trademark Opposition Policy, at that time. And many of you have heard a lot about that, but basically that is the UDRP, but a little bit less of a burden in that an IP claimant can show that the domain name was either registered in bad faith or used in bad faith. Under the current UDRP, as many of you know, you have to show both that the domain name was registered in bad faith and used in bad faith. And the reason why we have this new standard is because of the 30-day hold period, in which many UDRP panels have found that if the domain name is not actually resolving or there's nothing up on the site, it hasn't been used. So we try to remedy that problem. Again, I just want to note that .biz domain name registrations are for those who will or those who intend to use the domain name for commercial or business purposes. And one unique thing that .biz has is an anti-speculation clause, which states that if a domain name applicant, or excuse me, if a registrant if it can be shown that a registrant has registered a domain name solely for the purpose of selling that domain name for compensation, then that will not constitute a business use, and that domain name can be challenged in a restrictions dispute resolution policy, which will be implemented by the ICANN-approved dispute providers. And so far, we have gotten the World Intellectual Property Organization and the National Arbitration Forum signed on, and we hope to get the other two, e-resolution and CPR, signed on as well. With that, I want to end this, and I know that there's some questions out there, so I kind of wanted to leave some time.
Lovely, Jeff. Thanks very much. Questions from the council? Let me start things off. In terms of the whole process of registration, do you feel that there are very much easier ways to go in the future for people who will come after you, or was it sort of about what's necessary given the complexity of the beast?
Well, there's no question that there are definitely much simpler ways, but the way that we have developed takes into account all of the interests of the Internet community, including the intellectual property interests, I should say all intellectual property interests, as well as the rest of the Internet community. There's no doubt there are simpler methods, but I think one of the roles of the registries, especially in the testbed period, was to take into account all of the interests and to see exactly the best way to launch a TLD. So I think if you're asking, are there simpler ways, obviously, the simple way will not be, in our view, the best way.
Right. And in relation to your negotiations with ICANN, do you see ways for the future that would be probably much better than the path you went down, or is the process about right in terms of the way that you had your negotiations with ICANN?
Well, the first thing I want to say, I will address that. The first thing I do want to say is that .biz and New Level supports the continued negotiations with the remaining TLDs, and we hope that that process goes forward on a speedy track, and we hope that they become up and running. With respect to .biz and to .biz, as many of you know, the process was very long. That we've been, we were approved in November, and right here it is May, and we're finally up and running with our first service. But I think it was a question of, or it was a matter of, all of this was being done for the first time. There were a lot of complex issues, and one really important thing about the ICANN accredited registries as a whole is that the new agreements do take into consideration a lot of issues that benefit the public as a whole. For example, improved SLAs, improved escrow procedures, technical specifications, and a lot of attention to detail on what happens, for example, for registry failure with any of the new TLDs. So all of these issues are extremely complex, and while it took a long time for these first set of registries that were approved, I think in the future, because these issues are now known, that it'll be much simpler. However, we noticed that there are no sponsored top-level domains that have been formally approved yet. So I'm sure that, again, once those issues are resolved, and we hope on a quick basis, that those will be understood as well. I also think it's a matter of resources. I think there's no question that all of us know that ICANN, the staff, they have a tremendous amount of issues that they are working on. And I think it's imperative, as is contained, at least in the last draft of the budget that I saw, for more staff to be given to ICANN for this purpose. So I think with more staff and with the experience of these first two and hopefully very soon the remaining five, I think that the process will go much quicker.
Thank you. Other questions?
Yes, I have a question which regards your efforts in notifying the business community and also the intellectual property community as to your existence. And I'm thinking here in all jurisdictions and countries throughout the world. Can you just explain what you've done in that regard so that people, businesses and IP fraternity understand that you exist and that there is a process?
Sure. We have an extensive marketing campaign that's underway. We've been doing that for several months now. One of the problems, as you know, is the length of this process, so it was really unclear when we would be able to come out. But right now there is, a tremendous marketing campaign. There have been articles about .biz in virtually every major continent that I can think of. There have been, right now, as I haven't been able to go to our website today, but I understand that there are now translations of our website into multiple languages. If it's not up today, it should be up Monday is the latest word that I have. We've undergone a tremendous outgrowth. We've been working with the intellectual property constituency since the very beginning, as well as the business constituency, and have reached out to them as well. And one of the important things about the whole ICANN model is depending on the registrars. And we have reached out continuously to the registrars and giving information about .biz. And we hope that they will also help us with marketing, and because they are our greatest resource.
Thank you. Other questions? No. Jeff, thank you very much. Dots, a big one, Roger. Sorry, Jeff, hold on. Okay, go ahead.
And then, if I see this like presentation chart, I can see some random selection process and third-party audit, and I think probably they might get multiple like IP claims and like multiple applications regarding the same trademark and regarding the same domain names. And I'm not quite so sure how they are going to secure this kind of independent randomization process and auditing process.
Sure, let me go into that right now. We are in the process of selecting an independent third party, in other words, one that's not affiliated with New Level or any registrar, that specializes, and I didn't know this before I started working on this, but there is actually academics and institutions that specialize in the field of randomization. So we are in the process of contracting that out. In addition, is our intention to have a company also audit those results, a company to the effect of like a public accounting firm or someone like that, that is again outside of our realm, but is bound by ethical duties to report honestly and accurately on what occurs. We are taking every possible step, and you know, if you want to have an offline discussion, I'd love to go through the actual randomization process and how it works, but it's a little complex, and for now, that's what it is.
Okay, Milton.
Yeah, as a preamble to my question, I just want to say that I support the idea of diversity in registry policies, and I think that BIS has run with that diversity and come up with an innovative process, and I hope that this principle of allowing registries to set their own policies and be diverse will be maintained. My question is, we had a discussion earlier this morning about thick ICANN versus thin ICANN, and I want to know, in your dealings with ICANN in negotiating this contract, do you feel that too much regulation was imposed on you? I know that you probably can't answer this question frankly in this environment, and to what extent is this an artifact of the fact that this is the first time we're adding registries as opposed to hopefully what will be the next times? But do you feel that your business model is hampered by the contract that you have, your flexibility in responding to the market and into consumers?
Well, I think something you said in the middle of that statement is exactly right, that it is the first time that this is being done. And there are numerous issues that have been brought up over the last several years on the operation of a registry. And I think for this testbed period, I think that ICANN has tried to cover every possible basis. I know that's quite impossible to do, but so I think that's one of the main reasons for such a thick agreement, as well as the number of issues that the contract goes into. But I think it's the intention, as I understand it, that because it's a test bed and because it's a proof of concept, that as we go further on and see how the registry operates, that maybe there will not be a need for such comprehensive provisions. But, you know, again, that just remains to be seen.
Well, Jeff, thanks very much. In the interest of time, I think we must move on. Thank you. And Dot Info, do we have someone from Dot Info? We do. Excellent.
Well, my name is Kent Jordan. I'm on the executive committee of Filius, the registry selected to run the .info registry. I am carrying this sort of hard copy of a PowerPoint presentation, which I'll be using to discuss this with you. I wanted to cover four or five points real quickly in the nature of an update. First,
We are pleased, very pleased to have a contract and are moving forward with our staffing. We have a registrar toolkit that's been posted and are actively working with the accredited registrars to move them through the operational testing and evaluation period. Several have passed that and several more are in the process, and we've been pleased and grateful for the work that our partner Liberty has done with us in that respect, and we fully expect to be through that in a timely fashion. We've met with registrars here as well as when we were all together in Melbourne to provide information and answer questions on both the business and the technical level. And we do have business and tech support available on the net and by phone. That those are offerings that we're strengthening as we continue to staff up. But we, again, our expectation is that we'll be able to partner successfully with the accredited registrars in getting the registry rolled out to consumers. With the good graces and help of Michael Heltzer and J. Scott Evans and others with the International Trademark Association, we were able to participate in a panel last month at the INTA annual meeting to discuss with trademark holders our Sunrise process for protecting intellectual property rights. We did receive some good comment and several questions which we hope we were able to answer and which also provided us information so that we can make sure that functions as smoothly as possible. We've partnered with the World Intellectual Property Organization to offer some dispute resolution processes during the Sunrise period and immediately following it, and we're hopeful that that will again ensure that this as a protective method and a way of balancing intellectual property rights against other interests will prove to be successful. Our expectation is that in June or July, we will be taking Sunrise registrations and moving through the randomized queuing process that will govern that special proceeding. That'll last for approximately a month. In mid-August, we'll begin our startup phase. Again, during the period of intense demand, that will involve a randomized queuing process, but we will be moving as rapidly as possible to live real-time registration. And exactly how long that will take is going to be a function of the demand we face. We're hopeful that that will be a shift we can make within a couple of weeks of the actual startup. Last but not least, in the way of just expressing gratitude and hoping to further spread the word about .info and the enthusiasm we feel about it, we do have an event this evening. You're all invited. Everybody's invited. It's at the Science and Technology Museum. Starts at 7 o'clock. And for those who are taking the VeriSign Love Boat Cruise, we will have a bus meeting the boat when it comes in to bring everybody over to the Science and Technology meeting. So that's
very good.
For us.
Thank you for that and the invitation. Questions? And briefly, Elizabeth, and then Paul.
A question for, I would like to understand, you are not the first one speaking about Sunrise. How do you proceed to inform people all over the world about this Sunrise?
Well, we started that process, we think, successfully at the INTA conference, which is a remarkably well-attended and broad-based conference. Well over 6,000 attendees, intellectual property professionals and owners from around the world were in attendance at that, and INTA did a wonderful job in making available to its members that information that we presented there. It's on their website now. I hope I'm not riding that horse too hard. It wasn't ours that we put together. That was the good work that INTA did, but that's a successful way, we think, of getting the word out. We also are working with Hill & Knowlton and Ogilvy One on a worldwide marketing campaign, and because we are a registrar-based organization, we have been in close contact with registrars to understand how best they think we should communicate and to provide tools for them to communicate the message on a worldwide basis.
Lovely. Thank you. Thank you very much. I think in the interest of time, I must end it there.
But thank you indeed for coming. And moving on with the agenda, I also suggest that in the interest of time, we might delay discussion on item 5 and item 6 until our next meeting, if that's acceptable, Council. Neither of those are particularly time dependent for today's meeting. Any objections? I'm proposing we defer discussion on items 5 and 6 until our next meeting.
5
is the .org process to change registry.
No.
Just a statement that you want to discuss?
I would like a very, very brief update from Louis, if we may, in light of the recent agreements that have been entered into by VeriSign on the procedure that, or the timetable of the divestment of .org. First of all, please.
Yes, the new agreements with VeriSign include a registry agreement for .org alone that provides for VeriSign to stop its operation or its operation of the org TLD as of the end of 2002. The arrangements also provide that VeriSign will provide $5 million in funding for a nonprofit organization to run the .org TLD. I should mention that on the board's agenda for Monday is a topic to formally make a referral to the DNSO concerning some of the policies required to select or to establish an organization appropriate to run it, and also any issues concerning its policies.
Can I come back? Yep. Basically, just following on from that, and I'm not sure what the board will be asking of us, but would it be prudent for us to ask each constituency to consider, once we know the issues that the board would like us to address, between now and the meeting in September, to discuss within the constituency, and also I would urge within the GA to give them a specific work item of how best the process for selecting the new registry should take place. So when we meet in September, we will have something ongoing. Although it appears that December 2000 is some way away, it is, in relative terms, just around the corner.
I think it certainly seems like a good idea to discuss something like that. Louis, go ahead.
Yeah, let me just amplify that the staff's recommendation to the board will be that the referral call for the Names Council to provide a fairly well-formed interim report in October of this year on the way forward. So there is some urgency to the matter. And of course, you have interim telephone meetings that you can get business done in.
Okay, if it's October, is a pretty tight deadline, huh? If we're going to get something done by then, would we therefore start to already think about forming at least a task force that will be the route into the Names Council for information there? Milton?
I interpreted Paul's motion and support the motion that we go back to our constituencies and develop a paper. No apparatus
okay.
with bureaucracy.
Each paper from the constituency, feed it into the NC as rapid as possible. Well, by...
And then maybe in the next meeting we form a working group.
From that. Yeah.
From that. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Everybody happy with that?
I would assume that the definition of next meeting would be what?
Is name
telephonic meeting or the or
not face to face meeting in
multiple day.
Okay, that's what I was
next face to face multiple day.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's
I think we have to strongly encourage the constituencies to act quickly with real deliberation on this, because I think staff would really appreciate getting some support as well as input as quickly as possible to make it easier for them to draw this.
Okay. Everybody happy with that?
Peter? I would suggest inviting the GA to develop a paper as well.
Yeah, I stress that in mind. I agree with you.
Yeah. Good. Okay, that's clear and agreed. Let's move on to item 7. I'm going to skip for the moment and possibly defer item 6 if we run out of time. Item 7 is budget and some updates also on secretariat and sponsorship. Oh, Roger.
Thank you, Philip. The budget committee has two fairly important items we wanted to report on. The first has to do with the conclusion of a process that's been going on for somewhat over a year now. The council will recall that it was in April of 2000 that it tasked the budget committee to begin the process of collecting voluntary donations to the DNSO for the purpose of providing funding for professional staff support for the Names Council and the DNSO more broadly, and that VeriSign had committed to match donations up to $100,000 made for this purpose. And we've been working for the past year on coming up with an administrative procedure that would permit us to collect these funds. I'm pleased to report that that procedure has now been completed as of this morning. We have concluded an agreement with ICANN management under which they will administer the funds on our behalf. And the important consequence of that is that we are now beginning the fundraising effort itself. So I wanted to flag this for council members, and I'll be sending more information around. But we in the budget committee are asking every member of the council, to the extent that they are or their employers or organizations are in a position to make such donations, to please do so, but more importantly, to help spread the word that we are soliciting donations, and that these donations will be matched, and that these funds will go to support the operations, in particular the professional support for the DNSO. So that's the first item. The second item is, I think as the council will recall, the budget committee created a search committee, or search subcommittee, whose task has been to recruit various elements of professional support and general support for the DNSO. This search committee is relying on both the assessed dues that the constituencies pay to the council and on the voluntary donations that we expect to collect through this new procedure. And the search committee, which is chaired by Erica, has also completed a number of important tasks on which we wanted to report. Since Erica is not here, not able to be with us today, she's asked that Chuck Gomes, one of her fellow subcommittee members, give the subcommittee report. So with the permission of the council, I'll ask Chuck to step forward and report on the subcommittee's work. So he's approaching the podium, I would note that the other members of the subcommittee, in addition to Erica and Chuck, are Elizabeth and Vanny. So they're also participating in this effort.
Okay, Chuck, there were two types, general types of services with regard to this. And they're both being performed currently by AFNIC, okay, part of those being provided by Elizabeth in her role there. The administrative secretariat services, and also the web hosting, email list management, et cetera, is a technical service that we've classified there. Now, as you'll recall, that there was $5,000 allocated for an RFP for those types of services. And please distinguish these services from the high-level staff policy type person that Roger is referring to as the professional services there. These are the services that we already have and we need to replace. An RFP has been finalized. Six candidates for preparing that RFP were evaluated. One finally was selected and has produced an RFP. That RFP has been provided to AFNIC and will be posted on Tuesday, the 5th of June. In that RFP, they were required that responders may provide, may respond to either both types of services or just the administrative secretariat services, but they at least have to respond to the administrative secretariat services. Okay. The deadline for responses to the RFP is June 20th. And Roger, you'll have to help me on the date since you have my notes there. What's the next target date?
25th of June. The response is due the 20th. The evaluation of the shortlist. The 30th of June, the final recommendations to the Names Council. The 7th of July, the Names Council appointment or appointments. The 14th of July, the contract signing, and the 30th of August would be the transition complete.
Now, notice in those dates that takes us beyond our June 30th deadline. Okay, so the recommendation that Erica submitted to the wants to submit to the Names Council is that we extend the services of AFNIC for AFNIC's approval under the same terms that we had for an additional 2 months with the option of a third month depending on how well the transition goes to make sure that there's a smooth transition. I guess at that point, that's the work of the search committee so far. The consultant that is hired, Eon and Associates, will be evaluating the RFPs, doing the short listing that Roger indicated, and ultimately presenting the selected candidate to the Names Council for your approval. Any questions?
No. Okay, Chuck, thank you for that. Roger, we need to, yes.
Yeah, there is a motion that I'd like to introduce, which is on behalf of Erica and the search subcommittee, but the budget committee as well, and that is that the council authorize the extension of our existing relationship with AFNIC for a period of up to an additional 3 months. The current authorization for our use of AFNIC services expires at the end of June. For everyone's recollection, you may recall that as part of our general arrangement with AFNIC at the end of last year, they agreed to provide 3 months of service to us at no charge, which expired as of the end of March. We didn't have any follow-on service available by that time. AFNIC agreed to extend it for an additional 3 months at the same rate at which we agreed to pay AFNIC last year, which is $5,000 per month, and that current arrangement will expire at the end of June. So we're now asking for an extension for up to 3 months, only if it's needed.
Yeah, based on the same money. Do we need discussion on that proposal from Roger? So just to be clear, what we're doing is making sure we have continuation of secretariat services from our existing supplier, AFNIC, which will be at the same rate we're currently paying, and we'll be giving authority to the budget committee in terms of negotiation of up to 3 months, if necessary, and to their discretion as to what is going to be best. Why, Jane?
No, it's not a question regarding AFNIC. It's a question about the deadline for the secretariat. It says like June 20th, so it sounds like we only have like 2 weeks for application. And also another question is, who is going to review all those applications and who is going to decide what kind of proposal will be adopted?
Let me answer it quickly, and Chuck, if you want to expand on it for the search committee. First of all, the evaluation, the final recommendation will be done by the search committee itself, which is a search subcommittee. It's a subcommittee of the budget committee. But the evaluation work will be done by the consultant that's been hired. Ian Peters and Associates, I think is the name. And that consultant will examine, qualify, and break down the various bids that are submitted. It is clear that, and I'd like to emphasize this for everyone's benefit, the RFP is now scheduled to be posted on June 5th, and the response date will be June 20th, so that provides essentially a 15-day period for responses. So I'd like to encourage every member of the council to get the word out to anyone who you might know who might be interested in submitting a bid for this service, to do so during that bidding period. And then the evaluations will be done by the consultant, by Ian Peters and Associates, and the final recommendation will be made by the search committee based on the evaluations done by the consultant.
So the final decision will be made by the search committee, right?
The intent is that the subcommittee, the search subcommittee, will report back to the full budget committee, and the full budget committee will report back to the council.
And
so that the council will be asked to approve. Just to remind everyone, the council delegated certain spending authority to the budget committee. So the budget committee has the authority to spend up to a certain amount of money. That amount is $5,000. It's clear that this contract will be for much more than $5,000, so it must come back to the council for its approval.
So how many named council members on the search committee?
The search committee currently consists of Erica, Chuck, who, per the arrangement we have, is acting as my representative, so you would say formally Erica, myself, Elizabeth, and Vanny.
Hello?
Caroline.
I need to get off the line, so I just wanted to say that I was in support of extending AFNIC services.
Okay. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Other questions for Roger? Ken.
I'd like to call for the question on the nominee.
Yep, fine. I'm happy with that. No discussion wanted. Vanya, quick question.
Yes. I have a question. Is the extension of existing relationship with AFNIC is inside the actual budget planned for this year?
Is it inside what?
The budget of
the
year.
Do we have
the
budget for it?
It is not. The budget for this year provides for two things that are relevant. First, the total amount budgeted for web hosting and listserv support services is $30,000. That presumes a monthly rate of spending which is considerably less than the $5,000 that we're currently spending with AFNIC, although AFNIC provides much more than simple web hosting and listserv support services, so it's a little bit of apples and oranges. However, in the budget, we have provided a very substantial buffer of miscellaneous funds so that what will happen if everything that goes as planned, we will have to come back to the council with a budget change sometime around August because we'll need to allocate money from miscellaneous into the category of support services. We don't want to do that until we figured out how much we're going to be spending for this outside firm. So there are sufficient funds, assuming all the constituency pays their dues, there'll be sufficient funds to cover almost everything we anticipate, but we'll have to use up our contingency money by the end of the year to do that.
But presumably, going to the fact that we're delaying the recruitment is already a financial saving because we're not paying for those new services earlier, so
yes.
There was a balancing item there anyway. Yes.
Assuming our constituency pay their bills, then the money is inside the budget, so we have to change the line budget.
Okay. Yes, you'll take money from contingency fund and use it for web hosting services.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Elizabeth, a quick point before we vote?
Just one additional information. It is not only web hosting and mailing list, Roger. I believe that the most important function is all votation service of votation, and which is also time consuming. So just
Thank you for the clarification. Let's take Roger's proposal then to delegate that authority to the Budget Committee. Those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Anyone against, please say no. Anyone abstaining, please say abstain.
Just to follow my consistency, I abstain, but Erica votes in favour.
Okay. Thank you for that. That motion is carried. That power is... Elizabeth, did you abstain for the record? Louis is asking.
I'm sorry?
Louis is asking, did you abstain on that vote?
Yes, of course.
Right. Thank you. Thank you for that clarification of what you did earlier.
We abstained also. We abstained also.
And you're abstaining also. Okay, we have a slight change of vote there. Let me just make a note of that. So we had Elizabeth abstaining and all of the non-commercials. Was that correct? Take care, just 2 seconds. Right, just get the...
Not really even a point of order on how to do it, but it's a reminder and a kind of an announcement, and that is that I just would like to remind the members that we have an election coming up for an ICANN board seat in the very near future here, and that we have best start planning for this and develop a timeline. But am I not correct that we had Louis, please?
That's probably right.
Correct me if I'm wrong or elaborate. Maybe you can let us know exactly how we need to handle that, please.
Yes, under the bylaws, the names council, the DNSO secretariat should advise the ICANN secretary by September 15th or 14th, I forget what it works out.
16th.
Okay, thank you. Of a replacement 3-year director.
And does the director is the director seated at the annual meeting?
The director is in fact seated on October 1st.
Okay. And what's the timing on the next ICANN directors the meeting in South America? Is that prior to September 15th?
Yes.
Okay, fine. Right. So in other words, we've got to get that done by telephone between now and our next meeting.
Yeah. So Louis, give us that date again so we have it recorded on the scribe.
Yes.
The notification date.
The notification date is September 16th, which is...
Yes.
Thank you. Ken, for allowing us to start thinking about that. We are indeed now on any other business. I have no items tabled. Gotcha.
I wanted to introduce a resolution that is being proposed by the GTLD constituency. The resolution addresses a draft resolution that has been put forward by ICANN management for consideration by the ICANN board. In the proposed ICANN board resolution, there is a proposal that an ICANN board task force be created to begin the process of evaluating the new top-level domains. And in the resolution that the GTLD constituency is proposing for the council, the resolution takes note of this and recommends that all evaluations of the new TLDs be done within the existing supporting organization structure, DNSO and the PSO. And note some concern with the makeup of the task force, the ICANN board task force that's being created in the ICANN management proposed resolution. So this, I think I've circulated this, the GTLD constituency proposal.
Okay, thank you for that. And for the moment, you're simply proposing that you are informing the Names Council of this, and perhaps with a view to the fact that we may think about this and perhaps have as an agenda item for our next telephone conference?
Yes, I think at this point we are proposing this to the Council and inviting any discussion of it, but not calling for action on it today.
Okay. Does Council want to make a comment on that? We have YJ.
Even though we missed the discussion regarding multilingual outreach by ICANN staff due to lack of time, I think we should have witnessed the lack of participation and lack of geographical diversity in this new GTLD selection process. If we look at the result of the new GTLD process itself, we can see very easily the new GTLDs couldn't really reflect geographical diversity with many reasons. There could be some technical reasons, and there could be another reasons. So I do really sort of propose those who couldn't, those like reasons which cannot be included in this new GTLD selection process can also participate in this evaluation process to, in some sense, facilitate their participation in the next round of the new GTLD process. And also they can be playing as very objective, evaluator to make this evaluation process much more clearly. So that is my sort of amendment, which might go to this members of the evaluation task force.
Okay, thank you for that. Cool, Ken.
The only thing I would like to say is I'd like to the minutes to reflect the fact that the comments, the early comments that were made by YJ, in fact, were her own personal opinions. It does not necessarily reflect a consensus of the Names Council.
Okay, Ken, thanks for that. That's the slide. And just make a note. Peter.
I have some problem and curiosity about the fourth paragraph, where it says, whereas the Names Council was concerned that members of the new TLD Evaluation Process Planning Task Force may be forced to assess criteria which are beyond their expertise. Well, it would seem to me if we are appointing those people, we're going to appoint people with the suitable expertise. And so I don't, I can't support that language, and I don't really understand why it's there.
We're not asking the Names Council to make any decision.
Just a comment.
This. Exactly, that's a comment. Right.
I'd be happy to just quickly comment on the question or comment, which is that in the ICANN management proposed resolution for the ICANN board, the proposal is to create a board task force that's made up of three representatives of the DNSO and then three individuals chosen from various technical organizations, and then have this and the president of ICANN have this task force then evaluate or develop proposals or plan for the evaluation of the business, the marketing, and the technical parameters of the new GTLDs. And I think it was that concern that there should be a match between the expertise that's applied and the task at hand that motivated that paragraph.
Vanny, and then Paul.
Yes, I have a comment in the last paragraph where it says on the business and legal assessment should be performed by the DNSO. I think that according to bylaw of DNSO, it's not entitled to do business and legal assessment as if we were a consultant firm. But what we are entitled to do is a policy assessment, because I think that's what we are called for. In fact, I think this it would be a, in fact, it covers more policy assessment. Just a comment.
Yeah, thank you for that comment. And Paul.
Very briefly, just I'd like to ask Louis again for a quick update on the status of the agreements of the other approved TLDs, which have not had an agreement ratified by the ICANN board as yet. Very briefly, please.
There are five TLDs in that category of not yet having been signed. Two of those are subject to a resolution passed by the ICANN board at Melbourne, providing for a full posting and then 7-day period for board members to register objections. And then three others
are not subject to that resolution, but are in the negotiation process. Did that respond to your question?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay, just to return then to the item table by Roger. We're going to be asked by the board indeed if we want to appoint three representatives to the group that they're setting up on this. So I propose that we think about the proposal that Roger's tabled. We think about that option. We'll have that as an agenda item for our next telephone conference, and by then we'll be able to see also the text of what the board is proposing before we take a decision. Paul.
Thank you. Have we finished that item now?
Yes.
Issue of the IETF and international domain names, I would like to propose a motion. We had a little discussion before, but now I indicate my motion first. The motion would be, the Names Council recommends ICANN to encourage all CCTLD and GTLD registries to delay the deployment of international domain names until such time as the IETF has met in August 2001, where it is expected a standards document for the international domain names will be agreed. That's the motion I would like us to discuss, if possible.
Roger?
We would not support this motion, and for the following reasons. First, the motion calls on two of the sort of three parties who are providing and competing in the market for multilingual domain name registration services to restrain themselves until August. And the third, of course, are those service providers who are neither GTLDs nor CCTLDs, namely those who are alternate route based. Those are a very large percentage of the market and very aggressive service providers in the marketplace. So asking those service providers who are affiliated with ICANN to stop only invites those service providers who are not affiliated with ICANN to go in and take the market away by the time others get in. Secondly, I think no one can predict when the IETF process will conclude, and I don't even think the comments we heard today suggest that it will be finally concluded in August, but it will reach another phase of discussion in August. So I think it would be harmful to ICANN and the DNSO for those of us who are affiliated with ICANN to stop our efforts at this juncture in a highly competitive marketplace.
Can I just respond to that? And first of all, to describe, I'm not saying we postpone discussion. I say postpone deployment of international domain names. Let me just say as well, I support international domain names, and I really wish the IETF had concluded its work now. The issue I have is, my understanding is the encoding systems have yet to be worked out, and there will be incompatibility between the race environment in which the IETF is working today and the new encoding system. And whilst I recognize that VeriSign will undertake very good work to try and ensure a transition between the current encoding systems and the proposed encoding systems, I do think requesting a delay of a matter of 6-8 weeks to possibly lead to a stable, as in the long-term system, if that's where the IETF goes, would be beneficial to the overall deployment of international domain names. But I really wish that the IETF had come to a conclusion in its work already.
Elizabeth first, and then Roger. Do the ISPs want to comment on this at all? Elizabeth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I tend to agree with what said Paul Kane. We are perceiving a really strong tension on the market, whether we are CCTLD registry or probably registrar for international domain names. It is of interest to everybody. And it would be wise to await August meeting and to IETF meeting and to have more lights on that subject.
Okay, Roger.
Just a couple of quick comments. First, with regard to the CCTLD services, what this resolution would do would really be to create a system in which those CCTLDs who have the closest relationship with ICANN would be those who would be most constrained. Those who have the weakest relationship with ICANN would be those who would be least constrained. So, in effect, it would encourage those who are inclined to ignore what ICANN says to go out and address the market aggressively, and encourage those who are developing a relationship with ICANN to restrain themselves and permit others to go out and penetrate the market. No matter how you cut it, this resolution hurts ICANN and hurts the DNSO and hurts the authoritative group. As to the question of this being 6 or 8 weeks, again, no one has suggested that I've heard any certainty that anything will have been accomplished by August that is not accomplished today. And thus, what we could well have done was simply damage ourselves to find that nothing new has happened or nothing has changed between now and August. We have committed that when a standard has been approved by the IETF, we will migrate to it. I think there's no question of that. So if it's approved in August, then we will migrate to it in August. If it's approved in September, we'll migrate to it in September. Or, you know, whenever it's approved, we'll migrate to it. But unilateral stopping of the ICANN side in this highly competitive situation will accomplish nothing but to hurt ICANN and hurt the DNSO.
Okay, Teresa and then Milton.
Yeah, I actually have a question, and I'm not quite sure who to ask. The technology that's being used by these aggressive groups outside of the ICANN process, first, I don't know exactly who they are. I also don't know if each of them is using their own type of technology, and it's independently aggressive, so we're going to have a bunch of little intranets that can communicate with each other in different languages, which will be really cool, but they can't all talk with each other, which would be a big mess. Which goes to sort of a point of, I guess I wouldn't be so worried about them then, because that's going to be their problem to deal with, because the groups that have the interoperability to communicate with each other and the technology that's been agreed to by a body that has actually provided the standards for what is allowing the internet to function overall in coordination with other relevant standards bodies that deal with this issue. I guess I'm having a difficult time seeing why it's not possible to wait until the August deadline. And maybe there's something I'm missing here, but I guess I would need to understand better an argument of why one shouldn't wait. That's all.
Just two comments. First, the non-ICANN-related service providers appeal to a very simple fact, which is that there is a strong demand out there among non-English speaking people for domain name registration services, and this demand will not wait until August or September or any time. People will sign up for the first service they get, and these services will are attempting to see if they can create their own market, their own independent service. Secondly, I don't think the issue is that you can't wait. What happens in a highly competitive market is that if you do wait, then your competitors exploit that and move in with those people who want services now. And those people won't buy something again by the time you get there. So it's a matter of being fully competitive more than it is that you can't wait.
Okay, Milton and then Peter.
Yeah, this resolution is carefully worded, and I would note that it asks that ICANN encourage CCTLD and GTLD registries rather than order them. I guess in part I have a question, in part I have a comment. Number one, does ICANN have the authority, in your opinion, Roger, to order you to do this? Secondly, if they encourage you to do it, will you do it?
On the first question, I'm not sure what ordering means, so I'm not sure that I can answer the question in the sort of
contractual obligation.
But it really is sort of a legal question you've asked, and it's impossible to answer a vaguely posed legal question except to say that where ICANN has the authority to order VeriSign, VeriSign will comply. Where ICANN doesn't, VeriSign will decide what makes the most sense to do. So I can't. There's no way I can answer a vague question with a precise answer. If ICANN were to encourage VeriSign to restrain itself, I think we would clearly remind ICANN that if we were to do so, probably the single most damaged party from our doing so would be ICANN itself, since the result would be to concede the market to non-ICANN affiliated service providers. And beyond that, I'm not sure I could say much more.
Okay, Peter, and then perhaps just try and move to a vote.
First, just a little comment. I agree with Teresa in that if these other competitors that are outside the system, this is just like new.net and .shop. What difference does it make? Because the names won't resolve anyway in the long term. The second thing is, where is the economic damage going to occur by not registering test bed registrants for 6 weeks or 2 months or whatever? Is there some huge volume of registrations pouring through this funnel right now? I mean, basically, none of these registrations are really valid. They're presumably testbed registries, and they could all go away. And in fact, according to Harold, speaking for the Internet Engineering Task Force, in a testbed, they all do go away. So I don't really see what the problem is here. If it's really a testbed, then it doesn't matter anyway, and if it's not a test bed, then where is the economic damage going to occur?
I don't know what Harold was talking about, but I can say that the VeriSign test bed services on multilingual services are registrations that are not intended to go away. They are registrations that are intended to be permanent. If the technology permits it, they will be permanent with no technology change. If the standards do not permit it, then they will be permanent with the most seamless experience possible to the registrant. If it is not possible to give the registrant a seamless service, then we will give them as close to a seamless transition as possible. But we've been very clear in disclosing to registrants that there is a risk that the migration to a standards-based service could cause some registrations to be lost. So no registrant can say that they didn't understand there was some risk, but the intent is that as many as possible, and if possible all, would be permanent. So what would be lost is, in our judgment, presumably registrants who would otherwise have signed up for an ICANN-based system who would likely sign up for the own whatever services are marketing to them or available to them.
Okay. Louis, do you have some information?
Yes. I hope is some fairly non-controversial information. Ben, could you scroll back up to the wording of the resolution? I'm concerned about ambiguity in the word deployment. I think what I would think must be meant by that is deployment of resolution of IDNs, because obviously there's been deployment of registration of IDNs. Is that?
Yeah, I agree with that. That was the intent.
Okay, so Scott, can you make that change? Thank you. Right, let's call the vote on this. I think we've probably had the discussion. Paul, you're tabling that motion. Who is your seconder? Elizabeth, you're seconding. Okay, those in favour say aye.
Aye.
Those opposing, please raise your hand. Roger, those abstaining. Okay, I'm just making notes. So we've got Roger opposing, we've got Milton abstaining. IP constituency, your votes were? IP, are you there? Axel, Guillermo?
Yes.
And your vote is in favour? Okay. And that's Axel, is it?
Yes.
And Guillermo, are you there? No? Okay. So that's that motion is carried. Thank you very much. That ends the items we have on the agenda. So I will... so I think I'm going to have to close the meeting. We've already run half an hour over our scheduled time. Thank you very much for your attendance. Apologies if we had no time for questions, but thank you, and we'll continue next meeting. Thank you.